This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with Newswest for Sunday the 14th of March 2021. Today is the contesting edition of Newswest, and although our focus is on contesting, it's not all that we've got in store for you today. The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is next weekend, and along with the usual reminders and information, we bring to you a history of John Moyle, whose vision in the post-war years of the 1940s was instrumental in the adoption of radio as a vital tool in fighting bushfires, and of course later to be adopted in all spheres of emergency response. Newswest can be heard on a plethora of amateur radio frequencies, being broadcast in Western Australia on Sunday mornings and evenings. Newswest is also available online and on demand. Visit vk6.net to find out how.
It's not too late. It's never too late until the Fat Lady sings. I'm talking about the John Moyle Memorial Field Day Contest next weekend. Surely you know about it by now. We've been nagging you about it for about a month or so. Please give lots of consideration to a portable entry, even if you're parked in your own car down by the riverside somewhere or in a parking bay along the escarpment somewhere. You don't have to set up camp all weekend, but it's nice if you can. You should have a good idea about where you're going to operate your portable station from and what equipment you need to pack. If you're working portable and HF is part of your plan, make sure you can do well on 80 metres, 40 metres and 20 metres and, of course, 160 metres if you're so licensed and have the space for the antennas. If you can't go portable, it's no big deal. You can still work the contest. In fact, you can make a last-minute decision to work at home as a home station. And, of course, you don't have to work the whole 24 hours. You can work a shorter block or in several blocks within the 24 hours. The best way to keep a log for the contest is software such as VK Contest Logger. The rules of the contest are built in, and you can export your log and send it in a very short amount of time. So, folks, that's it. Get on air and make some noise in the John Moyle Memorial Field Day next weekend.
Whenever you're listening to Newswest and there are no on-air callbacks for you to stand up and be counted, you can always pop on over to the VK6.net website and click on the big blue callback button. It's a simple process. You're asked for your call sign, then select from a drop-down list how you heard the news, and then there's an optional comments box if you'd like to leave some feedback. And here's some examples of recent feedback that we've received. One from BK6RX. He's listened on his own All-Star Node 42688-439.150 with a 77Hz CTCSS. So if you're in Katanuri, you know what to do. From VK3NCC, Colin. Colin says, thanks for another entertaining and informative broadcast for the 7th of February. I always find the episodes so full of excitement and enthusiasm. I really appreciated the UTC/GMT article so ably read and delivered by Andrew. It's pretty much second nature to me, but hearing it explained made me think that the material could or should be included in any future training regime for amateur radio aspirants. Keep up the great work. I know you all have to put in a lot of effort to deliver each week. 7-3, Colin. Thanks, Colin. And from Gary VK6GLX, just not far from me in Gidgeganup, commenting to Chris VK6JI on the 40-metre broadcast saying the signal was well down in Gidgee, barely audible. Good old 40 metres that does that to us. We really appreciate feedback comments, so please keep them coming and don't restrict yourself to just doing it if you're recording a callback. If you do have some feedback, whack it in there. We have a look. We don't look every 5 minutes, but we do look. And of course, we're so vain that we want to hear nice things about ourselves.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to Newswest.
With the John Moyle Field Days coming up next weekend, we thought we would look at the history of the man. This account comes from the Port Macquarie News and Hastings River Advocate, 14th of November, 1947. The article was reprinted from the Radio and Hobbies magazine of April 1947, and the article was written by John Moyle, and it reveals John's passion and foresight in the field of emergency communications. The price exacted from this country by bushfires in loss of property and lives is a terrible one. I use the word price because so much of it is paid through our own neglect and lack of preparedness. We shall probably never prevent bushfires altogether, but we can reduce them by using care and common sense. We must reduce their damage by employing every modern aid in fighting and controlling them. My interest in the matter is rather keen at the moment as a result of recent visit paid to the interior of New South Wales representing the Bushfires Advisory Committee at a demonstration of radio communications for firefighting. This committee, operating with the Chief Secretary's Department, is working to introduce and coordinate the use of radio, in addition, of course, to its many other activities connected with bushfires. In this, it has enlisted the aid of the Wireless Institute of Australia, which, in addition to technical advice, is endeavouring to interest country amateur transmitters in the task of operating and maintaining the radio equipment as it is acquired. My visit, therefore, as a WIA representative on the committee, was made with the intention of observing firsthand how radio could best be used, and of obtaining the views of local fire brigade members and shire councillors concerning their own particular problems. The setting up of satisfactory radio network for firefighting is quite a task. Firstly, there is the problem of setting down a general basis of operation, which, in part or full, will meet the needs of local geography, and at the same time maintain a common basis to allow several shires, if necessary, to work together with a common method of procedure. This calls for standardisation of equipment, careful selection of frequencies, and standardisation of training and maintenance. The aim should be to provide a national emergency network capable of operating as units within local shires, or of being coordinated on a big scale should the emergency be large enough to warrant it. This, in turn, presupposes suitable equipment being available in large quantities, operated under a government-subsidised and controlled plan, which will embrace any and every section of the community able to play its part. It even includes air support in those areas where large-scale fires are likely to occur. Such a plan eventually must come about. Until it does, those charged with the responsibility of firefighting must do what they can to interest all concerned, to educate them to become radio-minded, and to get started by using what equipment is available. In Victoria, and New South Wales at least, the WIA, in conjunction with the authorities in every state, is making a start. There is a big difference between the firefighting organisation in these two states, and as a result, the method of operation is, for the time at least, somewhat different. At the moment, I am concerned with the setup in New South Wales, although, as I have said, the problem must be tackled sooner or later on a national basis. And here endeth the first lesson.
This calls for standardisation of equipment, careful selection of frequencies, and standardisation of training and maintenance. The aim should be to provide a national emergency network capable of operating as units within local shires, or of being coordinated on a big scale should the emergency be large enough to warrant it. This in turn presupposes suitable equipment being available in large quantities, operated under a government-subsidised and controlled plan, which will embrace any and every section of the community able to play its part. It even includes air support in those areas where large-scale fires are likely to occur. Such a plan eventually must come about. Until it does, those charged with the responsibility of firefighting must do what they can to interest all concerned, to educate them to become radio-minded, and to get started by using what equipment is available. In Victoria and New South Wales at least, the WIA, in conjunction with the authorities in every state, is making a start. There is a big difference between the firefighting organisations in these two states. And as a result, the method of operation is, for the time at least, somewhat different. At the moment, I am concerned with the setup in New South Wales, although, as I have said, the problem must be tackled sooner or later on a national basis. Although each shire is subject to different types of fires, it is becoming obvious that the same general plan can operate in each case, stress being laid on one or more sections of it by each shire to meet its individual requirements. In case of small fires, things happen so quickly and the area is so restricted that communication other than by word of mouth is in many cases impracticable. But little fires always start the big ones, and when the outbreak becomes more than a few men in a paddock can control, the shire as a whole becomes interested, and organised fighting comes into action. In such cases, communication, both rapid and flexible, must be ready and waiting.
The first requirement, therefore, is a radio link between the officer who is controlling the operations and the parties which set out to execute them. In most cases, these parties set out in cars and trucks, splitting up into smaller units according to the extent and nature of the fire. The brigade captain wants communication to each of these main parties and also to the local shire officers, or maybe the broadcasting station, which, if required, can issue general warnings and other appropriate messages on the ordinary broadcast band frequency. And walkie-talkie sets. In addition to the two links in the chain, there may be many occasions when the close support of walkie-talkies or similar portable equipment will be required to communicate with the leader of each small party, who in turn can relay messages back to the officer in control as appropriate. Using their general scheme as a basis, almost any type of outbreak can be controlled in a manner not possible by any other means. It is true that many shires are well covered by telephone, which in any case would probably be used to report the initial outbreak. But apart from the fact that telephones are slow and operate from fixed positions, generally remote from the scene of operations, the fire itself frequently brings down the wires and isolates the areas concerned. The use of runners is applicable only to operations on a very small scale. The New South Wales Advisory Committee has obtained a number of Army 109 equipments which are capable of being operated from a car or truck and which will be available to shires at a maximum cost of £15 each. The demonstration I attended was to show how these sets can be used between the control point and large parties. Although it would be possible to visualise more efficient and otherwise suitable equipment, this set has shown itself capable of maintaining clear communication with the major control over distances up to 25 miles and between car and man of about 15 miles.
This particular demonstration gave car-to-car service over a heavily wooded range of about 12 miles with the greatest of ease. In many areas, these figures would be greatly exceeded. In very bad spots, they might be regarded as maximum. Operation is simple, and the results quoted above are for voice operation. Using a Morse key, distances might well be doubled. At the moment, walkie-talkie sets are not available comparable with the absurdly low price given for the 109, but eventually, particularly as the shires become alive to the possibilities of radio, some satisfactory basis of supply will undoubtedly be forthcoming. The first step, however, is to interest the shires themselves in the scheme and to encourage them to use what equipment is available to supplement their present methods and to train their personnel in the use of radio generally. There is, of course, a tendency to discount firefighting organisation in the area where fires have fortunately been few and far between. Actually, such periods are ideal in which to prepare for the day when the danger is upon us. The damage which a bad fire can cause makes the cost of equipment which could have controlled it to a mere pittance by comparison. It must be remembered, too, that fires bring emergencies apart from actual fighting. There will be casualties which must be cleared if lives are to be saved. Over a period of days, urgent supplies will be required. In all these things, the saving of minutes and manpower might well be critical factors. Only radio can provide communication of the type which is absolutely essential. At the moment, the plan is only in its infancy. A mere half dozen demonstrations have been arranged, but there will be many others, the success of which depends on the interest and initiative of those who carry them out, and of those who witness them.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the BK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from BK6 ARN.
On Thursday, a small number of amateurs were able to attend the funeral of Lance VK6LR. As with any gathering of that type, numbers attending were restricted, and even so, the quite large funeral chapel in Mandurah was filled to near capacity and the service was also live-streamed. One of the eulogies was by John Sanders, OBE, who had sailed with Lance in local and international events. It was a fitting send-off for Lance, and I was proud to be there, representing amateur radio. The weekend after the John Moyle, that is the last weekend of March, sees the CQWPX single sideband contest. We've covered this contest in detail recently, so we won't go on about it too much. However, it's one of the big international contests, and it's worth having a bash at, just because you can. CQWPX is one of the contests that's already configured in VK Contest Logger, so if you're not a seasoned contester using more sophisticated logging software, VKCL will get you through. You can find out more about this contest at cqwpx.com. We've had a few responses to the John Moyle Field Day Station Locator facility that we've put up on the VK6.net website. Have you made your mind up yet about where your station will be? You haven't got long to go. It will be helpful to other station operators, especially those working portable, to know where other stations will be operating from. Just pop on over to the VK6.net website and follow the link from there. It'll only take you a minute. And speaking of the John Moyle, I wouldn't mind at all if this humidity and especially the rain would stop for a while so that portable operation can be not so soggy. So this is important, and please pay attention. Whoever's been praying for rain, please stop now. If this was a social column, and it isn't, but if it was, I would note that at a meeting this week for the Gidgiganup Social Recovery Group, which was formed in response to the community devastation brought about by the Wooraloo bushfire, I found myself seated next to Peter, VK6PK. G'day, Peter. Now, I had scheduled an interview with Alan, VK4 Sierra November, for today's News West. However, it turned out to be one of those weeks, so I'm looking forward to presenting that interview in next month's contesting edition. Alan is one of the leading lights in serious contesting in Australia, and he's won the WIA Contest Champion Award a few times, and so we look forward to hearing from Alan. We sadly note the death of Gary Johnson. Gary's the owner of J-Car Electronics. He passed away recently after a short illness. Now, most hams would use J-Car for bits and pieces of some sort, so it's sort of an end of an era in some ways. Gary was the force behind staying loyal to the core base of hobbyists while trying to cater to the average Joe at the same time. Gary was a long-time supporter of amateur radio, regular advertiser in publications. I met Gary once at Dick Smith's place near Canberra during the 2010 Wireless Institute's centenary AGM and conference. He seemed like a very nice guy.
The International Museums Weekend is on the weekend of the 19th to the 20th and the 26th to the 27th of June this year, 2021. The Museums Weekend is an amateur radio special event. You, your club, along with your local museum, are invited to take part in the International Museums Weekend. As always, this will take place on the third and fourth weekends in June 21, the first weekend of which remains the primary weekend, but you are welcome to join in on either or both of the weekends. The intention of the event is to set up as many amateur radio special event stations at as many museums as possible throughout the world. The organisers hope for a HF, VHF, and if at all possible, an APRS packet station to be set up at each museum site. But the scope of your station is entirely up to you. The choice of museum is also left very much up to you. However, aim for the largest and or most unusual site you can find. The museums taking part over the years have included ships, castles, air museums, Napoleonic forts, pumping stations, wireless museums, racing museums, and many, many others. For the purpose of the event, the word museum is loosely interpreted. There really is no shortage of venues in which such an event can be staged, no matter where in the world you might live. During the first International Museums Weekend in 2002, over 80 museums from all over the world took part. The museums varied from tiny local village museums manned by a single lone operator to some of the world's most prestigious museums. These were accompanied by a great number of military museum sites, such as HMS Belfast in London, the Battleship New Jersey in the US, Air Force museums, and many non-military types. The event has proven itself to be an extremely popular and well-supported special event, particularly amongst the UK radio amateur population. It also went down very well at the museums, which were used as the venues for the event, and invitations have again been extended for the coming June. It has shown itself to be a tremendous public relations exercise, as well as having lots of fun over the International Museums weekends. At least part of the intention for this event is to present modern amateur radio to members of the public and to help us lose some of that stuffy, anoric image. What better place to do this than in the very public and well-visited areas of many museums which can be found in most parts of the world? Those clubs and museums which do decide to take part should please use the free on-site registration facility. The registration is simply to assist us in the administration of the event and provide those taking part with an indication of how many and exactly where the museums taking part are located. We also send out a participation award to all stations that register. Check it out for yourself at their website, radioamateursevent.org. That's radio-amateur-events.org. And how about putting amateur radio on display at a museum near you?
We've got over 100 years of amateur radio history in this country, and next week we'll be sharing it with some of you. We source many of our history items from the historic amateur radio magazines that are archived on Will's website. We also research amateur radio news from archived newspapers at the National Library of Australia's Trove website, and it really is a treasure trove of information from the past. There's another source that we don't use to any degree, and that's your recollections. If you were part of pioneering or building something amateur radio in the past, your story will be interesting to other people in amateur radio. There's a few ways you could share your story with us. You could write and record it and send your recording to us. Or you could write your story, sending text to us for a team member to record. Or send us an email and send up a Skype meeting, and we can record and edit the conversation in order to tell your story. That's it in a nutshell. Send your story to us via email at newswest@vk6.net.
Good morning once again. Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 14th of March 2021. No new items for you this week, but I'll go over some of the items we had for last week. I had a Hansen VSWR meter model Fox Sierra-5, excellent condition, $20. There's also a Yaesu VFO model Fox Vector 50, 80 through 10 meters, condition unknown, but it looks good. Any office on that? Four frequency counters are available. There's a couple of Dick Smith electronic ones here. There's also a Victor Charlie 3165 high resolution, range unknown, and there's also a kit. Any offers on those four frequency counters? There's also ceramic valve bases, 4 and 10 pin. Any offers? A lot of plastic valve bases, 15 old volt amp meters, moving coil meters. Any of those untested? Any offers? Please ring Ron, 0477 662 817. 0477 662 817, or email Ron and Marie Figure 2 at bigpond.com. Romeo, Oscar, November, Alpha, November, Delta, Mike, Alpha, Romeo, India, Echo, Figure 2 at bigpond.com. Thank you, says Ron. Also, John, VK6 Alpha Uniform, rang me during the week saying someone did contact him about that VCR recorder, the sharp front-loading tape player, model VC Alpha 460. Someone did contact him, but he's mislaid the information. So if you were that person or can help Ron, sorry, can help John with that recorder, please contact John again. That's VK6 Alpha Uniform. His phone number 08-9291-7908. 08-9291-7908. And he'd love to hear from you again. If you were that person who could call him again, please. His email address, if you prefer, is Alpha Sierra Alpha Lima India Figure 2 at westnet.com.au. Alpha Sierra Alpha Lima India Figure 2 at westnet.com.au. I don't know whether Gus has still got 756 Pro 3 ICOM transceiver, mint condition, $1,200. He also has a 3,000 watt antenna switch as well. It's a Mtron Echo Sierra 1. $220 on that. Please contact Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, 0407-030-592. 0407-030-592 or VK6 Whiskey Bravo at yahoo.com. That's it for me for this week. If you have any items for next week, please contact me. The email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And hope your colour comes in at the end of the week. It's VK6 X-Ray Victor wishing you 7-3.
Thanks for listening. As Mike told you just now, we're looking at the history of amateur radio next week, and we'd really appreciate hearing from you with the lead for a story of interest. The News West team has a single point of contact, and that's via email to newswest@vk6.net. That's the safest address to use because the emails are seen by all team members. Thanks to the broadcasting team and to the studio team this week, Roy, Mike, Jeff and Andrew beavering away in the background. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer. Please hang around for the callbacks. Then before you turn off the rig, you know what you got to do. You got to get on air and make some noise.